Thank God that we have a king that we can be proud of. Amen. The great thing is he'll never be dethroned. The 420 elders will never have a coup and throw him out or vote him out. He's going to reign forever and forever and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. I do thank you for being here. And I ask that God bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. Amen. I just want to let God bless us. 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. I want to talk to you on an unusual subject this morning, but something that I found to be in the Word of God kind of blew my mind when I read it. It said, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Use me today, God, as an oracle of your divine presence. And help me, God, to deliver your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Now, church, I want to read something to you that caught my attention. It said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. The title of my message this morning is The Man Who Loved God But Wouldn't Go to Church. You know, that's almost as if something you can't really go through. Here's a guy that the Bible said he'd done those things pleasing the sight of God, but he wouldn't go to church. And you know, we got people today that tell you they can do that in this society. Brother, I can live right. I ain't got to go to church. I was raised in church. I know how to pray. I know how to read my Bible. But do you? And let me tell you something. If you're reading that Bible and you're reading the New Testament, you got something you got to deal with. Jotham didn't have to deal with. Jesus said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together for to worship God. So therefore, the Bible said, God will bless you if you love him and keep his commandments. And one of the Word of God commandments is go to church. Hello? Assemble yourselves together, worship and have fellowship, but mainly come into the presence of God in one mind, one accord to receive from him. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and let you know, I really don't think people could make it in this world not going to church. They might make it. There's a possibility if they really did everything, but if you do that, you're going to read that word, get under conviction, you're going to go to church somewhere. Oh, that's good preaching. I'm going to run down the front row and amen myself. Amen. Come on, church. I did that one night in revival. They sat there and looked at me, wouldn't amen. I'd run down and say, amen. I'd run back up and preach a while, and I'd run down and say, amen. It took me a lot longer to preach. I got an amen out of Patrick. I'm doing good now. He's ready to go eat lunch. But now, church, when you begin to look at this, you've got to understand what brought Jotham to this place. And to do that, you got to understand what we really understand about the family. And most of us are products of our environment. Now, I know you have good kids come out of bad homes. You got bad kids come out of good homes. But most of us are mirror images of our parents. Hello? I remember one day I used to tell folks, I ain't never going to be like my daddy. And I had Alex whipping him, and I started feeling like my dad. And I realized I'm just like him. I'm enjoying this. Glory. Hello? But the truth of the matter is, that's usually where we are. We follow the pattern our parents set for us. And the question I need to ask you this morning, you know, that we understand the heritage of our family that can affect us for generations to come, whether it's good or evil. You ever thought about that? What you do in your life can affect, according to Scripture, to the fourth generation and maybe even beyond. And what you do is leave a heritage in your family that can make people either go right or go wrong by the way you live. And you know, church, you people can get differently, but at the same time, we are products of our environment. When you look in the Bible and see people had problems living for God, you trace their family trail, you'll find out there was something that brought them to that place. Amen? Now here you got this young man who has a heritage in the word of in the church. He comes through a good bloodline, but he had a bump in that bloodline that caused him to get upset. Hello? Now, church, I've told this story, but I'll tell it again because it really represents what I'm telling you. But I remember going into the camp meeting last year, and I'm standing up there getting ready to take up an offering, and I looked behind me, and they had a building on the picture up there behind me, an old wooden building. Didn't mean nothing to most folks, but it about broke my heart because I realized my great-grandfather was a carpenter that built that building. The first church building, the Church of God had church in the state of Alabama, my great-grandfather built it. He had no idea building that building and getting that church started that eventually folks from that church would end up in Tuscaloosa County and sit out in a little old community called Buell and have a revival and get in an old holiness church called the Antioch Holiness Church and bring them into the Church of God, and that church for 50 years would exist. And on a Sunday night, his great-grandson that he never knew, never met in this world, was going to stumble into that church, a drug addict, alcoholic, and find his way to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. I got a God that can make things like that happen, and he puts it all together. And, you know, and it might not have really been anything you could look at, but I believe every nail he drove, he was praying, God, let this give something to my family. God, let this do something for my family. I'll be honest with you, church. I believe that kind of stuff can happen. And I believe we can leave a residual in our families that will make them know there is a God and he's worth it. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what's this got to do with this family? Well, let's take a look at Jotham's family. First of all, there was Uzziah, his father. You know, when you read about Uzziah, you're going to find out something about him. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaz. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years. Now, church, next time you get a chance, read about the kings of Israel, and you'll find most of them were 15 to 20 years. This guy reigned for 52 years. He was not only a prosperous king, but he was blessed of God while he was a king. But something happened in this man's kingdom that made things go wrong. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to verse 4, according to all that his father Amaz did. But something went wrong. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Uzziah got lifted up in himself. And when he got lifted up in himself, he forgot who God was. Now, church, I was reading about Uzziah one time in the book of Isaiah, and I found out something about Uzziah and his kingdom. In the last few years he was there, there was no vision in Judah over God. You say, how do you know that? Because the first five verses or first five chapters of the book of Isaiah, he's not got a vision from God. And the worst thing can happen is have a preacher that's not looking at God and getting a vision from God. You say, what are you getting at? Read the first five chapters. But he's tearing everybody up. Woe be unto him, and woe be unto her, and woe be unto them. You ever been around people that's not really connected to God, and they get a bad vision because they've not got a real vision of God, and then they wear out everybody, ain't living like they think they ought to? Come on, church, read the first five chapters of Isaiah. He was woeing everybody moved. And in the sixth chapter, it said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. For the first time, Isaiah gets a vision from God. And notice what he said. He said, suddenly, I said, woe is me. Why? Because when you get a real vision of God, the first thing you're going to understand is, I ain't no better than anybody else in this world. It's the grace of God that makes me who I am. I don't know about y'all. I've had preachers come through Buell talk about what they could have been if God hadn't saved them. You know, one guy, I could have been a major league baseball player. One guy said, I was in the ring fighting for the championship of the middleweight class of the world when I gave up and gave my heart to God. And if God hadn't gotten my life, I could have been middleweight champion of the world. I got news for you, folks. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, weighed 125 pounds. When I stumbled into church, I didn't have nothing to go with, didn't have nowhere to go. But I got a God that loved me and picked me up, and everything I am because he made me. And I'll never forget where God brought me from. And because of that, I find nobody in this world that I got a God that cannot reach them and pick them up and turn their life around and give them joy and peace and power in their life. Hallelujah. Uzziah got so lifted up in himself, he finally decided, well, I don't even need preachers. Listen to this book of 2 Chronicles. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Did you hear what it said? His heart got lifted up. He got thinking he was so good he didn't need God. And what happens when you get to that point? You bring on destruction. Hello? When you get so great, you don't have to pray no more, and you don't have to read the Bible no more. You have opened the door for all kind of problems in your life. And listen to what it said. He lifted up to destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of the incense. You said, now, wait a minute, preacher, what's wrong with that? Because in the Old Testament, only the priest could offer up prayers at the altar of incense. It was against the law. How many of you understands God's a loving God, but he's also a God says, this is my law and you'll live by it or you meet judgment. I remember one time I was in a class in college, and it was a history class. And, you know, anytime you take a history class, they're going to get off in religion somehow. I mean, that professor likes to argue it. He jumped off on me, and he said, well, you're supposed to be a preacher. I said, yes, sir, I'm supposed to be one. He said, you believe God kills people? I said, not only I believe it, I believe the Bible pretty much puts it out there. I said, you know, if he didn't, the Andalusian world wouldn't have got drowned when the flood hit. Sodom and Gomorrah would have had everybody survive the hailstorm. And I said, Sapphira could have been like, never paid the tithes and been happy. I know I could have left that alone, but I like bringing them up. Y'all need to think about them next time you don't pay your tithe. Glory. I mean, you pay your tithe? Yeah. I mean, they actually gave something that just wasn't right. I need to go to the front row and amen myself again. It's getting quiet. Glory. But Uzziah knew he wasn't supposed to do it. He went in and decided, I don't need no preacher to do this. I'll do it myself. And he goes in and he's trying to light that incense. One of the priests actually said, don't do this abomination. And the minute he lit that incense candle, he was struck with leprosy. They moved him out of the temple, separated from the people, and he lived in other houses. But he could not even hold the office of king anymore, even though he was king. And nobody could be appointed king. If you read the Bible correctly, I believe it's in the book of 1 Kings, or 2 Kings rather, it says that Jotham actually run the kingdom. That meant he was like a teenager, and he's back in charge. Because at 16, he takes over when his daddy died. And here's Jotham now. He takes over as king. Now you got him taking over for his father because his father's died. And notice what it says about him in the book of 2 Kings. In the second year of Pekah, the king of Ramallah, king of Israel, became Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah. 25 years did he begin to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord. Jotham kept trying to do what was right, but because he's mad at the preachers, because he blamed them for what happened to his daddy. How many people have let things of the past keep them from getting a dedicated life to God and just said, well, bless God, I just won't go back to that church because my papa was done wrong by them people, or my daddy was done wrong by the preacher. And they let that get between them and God. And Jotham basically just said, I'm going to love God, I'm going to offer my sacrifices, but I ain't going to church. So I said, well, did it kill him? Well, he died eventually. But you see, what's really sad about this whole story is not only did Jotham do what he did, but the people following Jotham began to go off into left field. They started worshiping idols again, started lifting up the high places, started worshiping the bad places. But now here comes the clincher, folks. You don't live right and go to church all the time just for you. Dad, you need to realize folks are paying attention to you. The rest of you, whether you're a dad or not, you need to realize there's a world watching us, and they want to know if we want to live what we say we live. They watch us, and if we fall apart, every time they fall apart, they begin to wonder why they serve God. The reason I don't fall apart is not because I don't have problems, I don't have troubles, I don't have trials, but when I get in the fire, I got a God in the fire with me. And when I go to the lion's den, I know God's going to be with me. And I know I'm going to have trouble and trials, but I know I got somebody I can lean on. And it's during those times of darkness I can find out my God is as real as he's ever been in my life. Could you say amen? But people watch you every day. You never know when you're going to bump into somebody going to know who you are, and you ain't got a clue who they are. I was with a young man the other day, and we were going to do something in a town not anywhere around here. There's another preacher. And we got out of the car, boy, he was just wearing somebody out. We started toward the front door, and I looked up and said, hey, man, we're in a public place. Somebody might hear you. Hush. We cleared the door. He said, ain't nobody here knows us. This guy walked up, and he said, hey, Russ Stroop.
I looked at him. I said, they may not know you, but there's somebody that knows me, and I don't want to be in the middle of this thing. Hello? Come to find out, it was a young man who got saved one time when I was preaching a revival near that town, and he'd come by and see me, and he said, boy, you look different. I said, I'm a pastor now. He says he's going to come visit us. I hope he does. Amen. But now, church, I didn't really recognize the guy till he said something to me. Then I called him by his name. But the truth of the matter is, you don't know who's watching you. Those people on the job, when you over there telling stuff you ain't supposed to be telling, you ever realize you're messing up a business to them? Come on, church. Because you've been telling them all them jokes and having a big time and think you really fitting in, and then they need God. You're not going to ever be able to tell them that you know God or anything about God, because they done seen the real reality of what's going on in your life. Come on, church. Oh, it's getting quiet, ain't it? For 35 years, I was an evangelist, average going to church about 240 sometimes a year while I was preaching. But if I was home and I was off and church was going on at Bew, where was I at, Alex? Because that was my church. I remember coming in from New York one time, and it was on Monday, and I drove all night. I left on Sunday night after church, drove home, got home about 4 or 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Don't tell the police. You ain't supposed to drive but 8 hours without stopping. So I drive 8 hours, stop, get something to drink, and drive 8 more. Lord. Mountain Dew or coffee, okay? I said, oh, my God. I got home. They was in revival. I told Frieda I wasn't going. Next thing I know, Alex ain't going. He even slammed the door to his bedroom when Mama told him he had to go. I remember walking in, opened the door, and said, hey, bud, I don't slam these doors, and I own them. Hello? I never forget, I heard his argument. Dad ain't going. Well, I got to go. So I broke that argument. I hadn't been to bed since Sunday morning. Had drove 1,200-something miles. But when church started that night, I was sitting in a pew. Because I suddenly realized he's paying attention, and I want him to know God's real and God's worth it, and God's worth a little sacrifice. And if it costs me a little bit to make an impression, it's okay. Come on, church. I'm not pinning flowers on me, but every one of us need to pay attention who's looking at us and what's going on. And because Jotham did not go to church, he raised a son who knew nothing about the worship of God, who knew nothing about doing the things that he was brought up to do. And listen to the next chapter. Chapter 28, I believe it is, the 2 Kings, or 2 Chronicles. Ahaz was Jotham's son, and he took over to lead the people. But notice what it says about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. For Ahaz was 20 years old, and he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the son of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He made also molten images to Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valleys of the son of Hinnom, and he burnt his children in the fire, after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You see, church, all of a sudden you got this guy Ahaz who knows nothing about God, knows nothing about living for God, and notice what it said. He burned his children in the fire. But notice this. He gets into a little problem. In 2 Kings it said, and he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills, and under the very green tree. What did he do? He started worshiping other gods. Because if you don't get connected to God, you're going to get connected to something. It is an innate desire of man within himself to find something to worship, whether it be the God that I talk about or you worship something else. That's why when they went to South Pacific, they were amazed that those people had created gods. And what did they do? They tore them down, said, okay, if you're not going to convert to Christianity, we're going to tear down your gods. They tore them down. And what happened? They went back years later and found a bunch of burned out drug addicts, alcoholics, because they didn't have a God to worship. And their lives came apart. Can I tell you, church, that's what's happening in America right now. We've got homes with no God, people that have no God, no connection to God, and we're becoming a nation of burned out drug addict alcoholics, families falling apart because we have nothing to hold our families together. And that's where Ahaz was. He began to look for his answers and everything, but where God was, he got into trouble. And notice what it did. Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. You say, what are you getting at? He took for granted everything in the house of God was just there. He just get rid of it. It wasn't important.
You say, preacher, what's it, what are you getting at? Jotham didn't go to church. He burned his grandchildren in the fire. Some of us need to ask ourselves, what's the next generation got to look forward to in our families? Where are we leading them? Are we leading them to God or away from God? Because his grandchildren, now, there is one redeeming factor, and I want to show you that one. 29th chapter. Ahaz finally dies. He had a son by the name of Hezekiah, who when Hezekiah was born, his mama took him and hid him from his father, raised him separate from the family. She was the daughter of the priest Zechariah, and she raised him in the admonition of the Lord and raised him to love God and serve God. And the minute he took over, listen to what the Bible tells us. Hezekiah began to reign and was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Amen. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father David had done. And the first year of his reign, the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. If you read that 29th chapter, he got the priests together and said, sanctify yourself, fellas. It's time to go back to worshiping God. It's time to get back where we can contact him. He called the men together and he said, fellas, we need a move of God. We've got to have a move of God. Our wives, our sons, and our daughters are captive, and we ourselves have turned our back on the glory of God, and we need that move. And can I tell you, in America right now, we're at that point, even in the church, where we've lost out with God and we're losing our families and they're being taken captive by the things of this world. And for that reason, we need to open up the door of our heart, clean it out, and say, one more time, God, I want to move in your glory one more time, God. I want a touch of your grace one more time, God. I want to be brought into your presence to move in your power. The question I want to close with is, what kind of heritage are you leaving for your family by the relationship that you have with your God? Are you leaving a heritage that makes them want to fall in love with the God you serve? Are you leaving a heritage where they wonder if it's really worth it? Because if you never take time for God, they'll never take time for God. Because every generation goes a step farther in the wrong direction when we begin to move away from God. And our choice today is, who do we want to be? I don't want to be Jotham. And I definitely don't want to be Ahaz. I don't want to be a guy like Uzziah who grows up thinking I got it made and suddenly think I don't have to have the God that actually brought him to where he was. I want to be a Hezekiah that realizes without him I'm nothing. But in him I can live and move and have my being. And by him I am more than a conqueror. Would you stand with me all over the house? Would you just lift up your hands for a moment and worship him, because our God is worthy this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your love. God, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Holy Spirit of God, have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, I want to do something just a little different today. Most of you, because the day we are, you're with your families. I want you to turn around and just pray with your family right where you are. Dad, would you lead them? And if you're not where you can, would you let them pray for you so that you could lead them in prayer and in talking to God? Would you do that? Would you just turn around? Y'all going to have to come up here. Amen. And just let God bless you right where you are. Just, you can come up the front, you can pray right where you are, but get with your family and pray with them today if you can. Hug their neck, tell them you love them. Talk to them about God. Talk to them about his grace. Ask God to touch and bless them. Would you do that right now? Just find your family and get together and pray. Glory to God. Father, we love you. God, in Jesus' name, We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, the first institution of this world in God's grace was a family. Before there was ever a church, there was a family. The family makes the church important. Today, with everything you've got within you, you need to seek God and go after Him. You could make a difference in everyone in your family by letting God make a difference in you. I want us to just consider this today and just ask yourself, what kind of heritage am I leaving my family? And then talk to God about where it's at. Open your heart to Him. If we raise kids that don't think church is important, church won't be important to them. And we already see where we are now, how unimportant churches come to most people in the world. If God were to tarry another 20 years, it could really get worse, not better, unless there's a move of God that'll change us. God bless you again for being with us today.